There's some topics in Srimad Bhagavatam.
So, should we believe the mundane material scientists or the Vedas? Which should we accept? So, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam description of various aspects of this material creation, sometimes it doesn't match what we read in the textbooks, the science textbooks, and the modern slaughterhouses, probably call it college universities and slaughterhouses, because they slaughter the fine sentiments of the innocent jivas. So although the Bhagavatam's description of various aspects may not fit in with contemporary science's perception of reality, Prabhupada always argues that we should accept the Vedic presentation. And there's one purport here in the second canto, Prabhupada's purport to text 26, 2226. Prabhupada said, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us many clues about other planets far, far away from which modern planes and spacecraft cannot reach, even by imaginary speeds. In the creation of Krishna, there are many wonderful things that we can see with our own eyes every day and night. But we are unable to reach them by modern materialistic science. We should not, therefore, depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science. He's saying fragmentary. Very interesting phrase. Fragmentary authority. So their authority is like fragmented. It's not complete. It's a little bit piece here and a piece there, and they try to piece it all together. The fragmentary authority of materialistic science, we should not depend on them for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. For our common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or of Vedic literature can be verified by the common man. The alternative for the common man, or we say layman, is to believe either of them or both of them or one of them or none of them. I'm adding that. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic because this way has been accepted by the acharyas, who are not only faithful, in other words, and who are those acharyas? They're very faithful and learned men, but they're also liberated souls without any of the flaws or conditioned souls. Modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of Vedic literatures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by great acharyas. So he's saying that modern science, the body of modern scientific knowledge, Prabhupada is saying, is based on the scientists, their powers of investigation, hypothesis, experimentation, drawing conclusion, investigation, research. They have to research. They have to search for what they lost. In other words, searching for something. You don't search for something you haven't lost. When you lose something, then you search for it. You see someone looking here and there. What are you doing? Oh, I'm searching for my wallet. Why? Because I lost it. So they lost the knowledge. Knowledge is eternal. God is eternal, and knowledge is eternal. Knowledge is existing. As long as creation is existing, knowledge is existing. If an object is existing, then knowledge of that object also exists. But the scientists, their powers of investigation are limited to their senses. So with their limited senses, then they make machines, telescopes, microscopes, cyclotrons. And they, with those machines, because they're limited, then what the machines they make must also be limited. So then the powers of investigation that those machines provide must also be limited. Then the conclusions which the scientists draw by using those limited machines must also be limited or fragmentary conclusions. So they're depending on their sense power, which is imperfect. subject to illusion, commit mistakes. Even they look through the microscope or the cyclotron and they see the particles, atomic particles moving, and they say, is it a particle or is it a wave? Is it a solid particle or a moving vibration? Is it a wave? Well, it's a wavicle. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. This sums up the whole science. Heisenberg and every Berg and all Bergs, all the Bergs, everything they have concluded is uncertain. Why is it uncertain? Because it's certain today, but tomorrow they change. Oh, actually, the 1998 edition of this physiology book is outdated. So you have to buy the new version for $99. 2007 version. It's new, updated version with some new chapters and some modifications. See, up to 1998, we thought it was like this, but now we understand it's like this. And anyone who ever went to medical school or science, they know that this is a continuing. Why do they? If science is a conclusive subject, and they have the final word, science means seo, and Greek means to know. To know, you know, you don't know. Just like directions, you ask someone directions. Do you know how to get there? Well, I think you go 2 blocks this way and 1 block that way. Now, wait a minute. Do you know how to get there? Well, actually, I've never been there. But I think it's over there. The scientists have never been there, but they think it's over there. So they always keep changing. Their body of knowledge is actually not science. Means to knowledge, to know. They don't really know. Well, today we think it's like this. And then 5 years later, well, that's what people thought 5 years ago, but now we have a new understanding. It's like this. Your knowledge, this is not, you're talking about mechanics, but now we're talking about quantum mechanics and physics, but this is quantum physics or astrophysics. So this is the problem. But acharyas, their knowledge comes from Krishna. First they become suitable receivers. If you have a proper receiver, then you can get so many stations on your radio. If you have a very powerful FM receiver, if you have a very weak receiver, you can't receive too many signals. So many signals are being broadcast by different FM radio stations. If you have a weak receiver, you can't pick it up and hear the music or what, news report or whatever. BBC is sending out BBC News from London, and you can't hear it if you have a cheap 5-rupee radio. But if you have a good radio, a good receiver. So the knowledge is being broadcast from Krishna. Krishna is the original Adi Guru. And his knowledge is always existing. The transcendental Shabda Brahman is always in vibration, always moving, always available, always accessible. But one has to be a proper recipient. So the scientists, when Prabhupada's contrasting them to the rishis, the seers of the truth, the visionaries, the acharyas, they have developed the receiver. They've developed very high class receivers. The receivers are their minds, the receptacle. The minds are the receivers. Their hearts are the receivers, their intelligence. And they've developed by their achar, by their behavior, by always surrounding themselves and absorbing themselves and submerging themselves in sattva gun, all sattvic activities, sattvic ahara, sattvic controlled sleeping, controlled eating, controlled environment, sattvic environment, and all habits, cleanliness and austerity and sense control and meditation. They purify their existence so they become very powerful receivers. Their minds become very calm and peaceful and strong and potent by brahmacharya life and by sense control and mind control and living in very isolated environments away from the collective karma of cities and nations. They live very solitary, secluded lives. And they enter into deep states of meditation, so then they can pick up the signals. They can pick up the signals and vibrations and waves of knowledge coming from Krishna, coming from the higher agents, coming from the higher guardians, from this subtle sphere of the saints or the saints on Tapaloka and Satyaloka, and what to speak of the Paramatma, the Super Soul. All knowledge, we say, even Jesus said, knowledge lies within, the kingdom of God lies within. So they tap the unlimited reservoir of Shabda Brahman. And being such pure recipients, because there's no lust in their mind, calm and crowed and love and moha, and no motivation, they're not doing research with a $3 million government grant, doing AIDS research with a $5 million United Nations grant, and they keep $3 million in a pocket for sense gratification and spend $2 million on the research. This goes on. Even they do studies of these charitable groups like the Red Cross, or something, a group called Red Cross or something. It says that, I remember there was a statistic in the paper, a statistic, for every $1 they get in charity, 10% is actually used in giving medical help and assistance to the suffering people. And 90 cents, or 90% of every donation, goes for office work and maintenance and salaries and advertising and vehicles and all this. So only 10% of the money actually goes to the supposed purpose of the organization, Red Cross, helping suffering people with medicine and medical assistance. So the same thing in scientists. They're motivated. They want profit. They want happiness. They want distinction. I want to get the Nobel Prize for physics. I want to get the Nobel Prize for chemistry, for discovering a cloned sheep, marry the sheep, or whatever. But the scientists, they're not after trinkets and gold medals and, you know, the Vedic scientists, the rishis, the sages. But they're worshippers of Krishna and Vishnu and Ram, and they want to do good for the people. They say, Vishram Purnam Sukhayate. This is the motto of the rishi or the sage. Vishram Purnam Sukhayate. They want the whole, their only motivation is to see that the whole universe is happy. They don't want anything for themselves. Because they're Atmaram. So what do they want? If you're Atmaram, what do you need from anywhere, from any quarter? If you have billions of dollars, then you're not going to try to take some money from somebody. If you have billions and billions of dollars, why do you go down the street and try to get 5 rupees from somebody? So this is the... They're in a mode of udar, helping. So if they have some discoveries, or they receive some sacred knowledge from the higher quarter, from the higher agents, from the super soul, Paramatma, or from the Lord, or from the Devas, or the ascended rishis, or ascended masters, then they won't try to make a profit out of it. They won't try to start a foundation or some type of way to make sense gratification. They'll simply try to help the people. So this is in... This Prabhupada also quotes this verse, Vishram Purna Sukhayate, that this is a phrase from Chaitanya Chandramrita by Prabhupada Saraswati. You know, the whole universe, Vishram Purna, the whole universe should be happy. Let the whole material world... It says that for the devotee, the whole material world becomes joyful. It's a very long verse by Prabhupada Saraswati. Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridashapura Kash Pushpayate Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Prutkata Damstrayate Vishram Purna Sukhayate Vidimahendradis Chakitayate Yat Karunya Kataksha Vaibhavavatam Tamgoram Evastuma. For a devotee, the pleasure of merging into the existence of Brahman is considered hellish. Similarly, a devotee considers promotion to the heavenly planets swargamukti. Brahma Suyuja, that's hell. And promotion to the heavenly planets is another type, it's another kind of phantasmagoria. Tridashapur. This is going to the heavenly planets. It's like an akash pushpa. That's like an akash flower, sky flower, a flower in the sky. It's something imaginary, like a flower in the sky. It's phantasmic. Oh, going to the heavenly planets, this swarga suk, or swarga mukti, and to enjoy swarga suk. For the devotee, for the Vaishnava, this is like akash pushpa, sky flower. No such thing as sky flower. Flowers don't grow in the sky. So the idea that you can go to higher planets, Indraloka, or Janaloka, and enjoy Maharloka, it's not... The devotee doesn't care. And the yogis meditate for sense control. But for the devotee, the senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. Because the sarpa patali, kala sarpa patali prokata damstrayate. Prokata damstra, the teeth, extracted teeth. If a snake has no teeth, it venom is injected into the bloodstream of the victim. When the snake pierces his skin with his pointed teeth, then he pumps the venom through his teeth. You take out his teeth, and it's a little hard. Pierce the skin with your lips. No poison. The facility is there. So, the material world, which the senses are just like, the yogis meditate for sense control, but for the devotees, the senses appear like serpents of broken teeth. The whole material world appears joyful for a devotee. Vishram Purna Sukhayate. And even great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Indra are considered no better than insects. This is amazing. Vidhi Mahendra. Adi. Vidhi means Brahma, Mahendra means Indra. Cha Kitayate, the Kita, like a Kia, Kita, like an insect. Oh, someone says, you can be Brahma. You can be the creator, Lord of the universe. You can be Indra, the king of heaven. Or the creator, Brahma. Ah, that's like insect. It's like a firefly. Glowworm, firefly. What do I care? It's like insect. Such is the position of a devotee who has received but a small glance of the mercy. Yet karunya kataksha by bhava vatam tam gora mevastima. One who has received the kataksha, gora kataksha, Goranga Kataksha, Radhakripa Kataksha, Goram Kataksha Karunya. Right, you say Radhakripa Kataksha. Kripa Kataksha Karuna. Karuna means compassion, mercy. One has received a sidelong glance of just a drop of compassion from the eyes of Goranga. He doesn't care anything. Unto this most magnanimous personality, Lord Goranga, I offer my stuma, my glorified. So, the rishis, they have such receptacles, such receivers, they're pulling all this great knowledge down. So, Prabhupada, he shows that oftentimes there's a consistency between Vedic statements, or the conclusions presented in Bhagavatam, and the words of the acharyas, the learned authorities in Scripture. Prabhupada always argues that we should accept the Bhagavatam's authoritative statements, he goes on. There is no difference between the versions of all the acharyas or authorities. The truth is eternal, and as such, there cannot be any new opinion about the truth. That is the way of knowing the knowledge contained in the Vedas. It is not a thing to be understood by one's erudite scholarship or by the fashionable interpretations of mundane scholars. There is nothing to be added and nothing to be subtracted because the truth is the truth. One has to accept, after all, some authority. The modern scientists are also authorities for the common man for some scientific truths. The common man follows the version of the scientists. This means that the common man follows the authority, or their authority. The Vedic knowledge is also received in that way. The common man cannot argue about what is beyond the sky or beyond the universe. He must accept the versions of the Vedas, as they are understood by authorized civil succession. So this is a nice point. If you want to know something beyond the senses, then you have to accept some authority. Our senses will tell us upon inspection that the sun planet is no bigger than a rupee coin.
Right. But we know that the sun must be bigger than that.
As we look at our eyes, the sun is about this big. Someone says, Daddy, is the sun this big? It's like one rupee coin. No, sun is bigger. No, but it doesn't look to my eyes are telling me. No, your eyes are telling you, but the scientist books are telling something different, that the sun planet is 10,000 times bigger than the Earth or whatever. I don't know, so much big size. The scientists, we accept their authority because they have some machinery or some investigatory apparatus by which they can measure and weigh and determine the size and volume of different objects in this creation to give us a clearer, more correct idea of reality. So we accept them. But if we want to go to the to understand existential truth, or the truth of God, or the eternal, absolute, unchanging truth, then we have to go beyond the mundane scientists to the spiritual scientists. So there, the Vedas are full of the conclusions of the spiritual scientists. The Vedas are the flawless books of knowledge. As Prabhupada often says in purports of Bhagavad Gita and other books, that the Vedic literature should be accepted as the standard books of knowledge, because they give a standard of knowledge that's unchanging. As we were saying earlier about the science books are always changing, the Bhagavad Gita is not always changing. Is it? Bhagavad Gita is always the same. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Dehino Shminyata Dehe Komaram Yuvanam Jara. The soul is passing in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, and similarly passing into another body of death. Self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Namuyati. So, this was true 1,000 years ago. This was true 5,000 years ago. It's true today. And it'll be true. College students that come and study Bhagavad Gita in 10,000 years, they'll say, oh, this book is still true today. People are going from, the soul is traveling in the body from boyhood to youth old age. That's a fact. We can observe. The soul is the ever-present witness and observer of the changing body. Body is changing, but the soul is not. And you're getting old and going to a new body. Oh, yes. So this is Vedic knowledge, unchanging perfect truth, given by the perfect authorities, the seers of the truth. So we rather put our faith in the spiritual scientists,